The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The Lord said, "Woe to you, Pharisees! You pay tithes of mint and of rue and of every garden herb, but you pay no attention to judgment and to love for God. These you should have done without overlooking the others. Woe to you, Pharisees! You love the seat of honor in synagogues and greetings in marketplaces. Woe to you! You are like unseen graves over which people unknowingly walk." Then one of the scholars of the law said to him in reply, "Teacher, by saying this, you are insulting us too." And he said, "Woe to you also, scholars of the law! You impose on people burdens hard to carry, but you yourselves do not lift one finger to touch them." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, and once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. I've mentioned before that being loving and being nice are not interchangeable ideas. You cannot summarize Christ the Lord under the umbrella term of nice, because he just wasn't always nice. He was always perfectly loving, love incarnate, but that's not always nice. Case in point for the gospel that you just heard, and just to put an exclamation point on the idea, remember this, these words were said at a dinner party, okay? Let's talk about a time when you're supposed to be nice, but we're not going to talk about the gospel today. Instead, we're going to talk about the first reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, because we've been hearing from Galatians for about 2 weeks now, and this is the last reading from Galatians, and beginning tomorrow there's going to be a brand new first reading. And just as an aside, are you aware that Paul's letter to the Galatians might be the oldest writing in the entire New Testament? I hope you already know that the writings of St. Paul are already the oldest writings in the entire New Testament. Every letter of St. Paul was completed before even the very first gospel was even started. But of the letters of St. Paul, a lot of people argue Galatians is the oldest one of them all. So let me tell you the story, St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. When Paul would evangelize, this is what he'd do. He'd go out to the cities and the towns and the villages, and he would go to the Jewish synagogue, where he would proclaim Jesus Christ. Most people rejected him, but some people heard and believed, and these became the very first ever Christians. And the question then for these Jewish converts to Christianity was, how are they supposed to live? Most of these people were living according to the law of Moses on Mount Sinai, what with kosher laws and circumcision and dietary restrictions and all the rest. Now that they were Christians, were they supposed to continue that? It's a complicated question. But here was an even more complicated question. What are Gentiles who become Christians supposed to do? Do they first have to go through Jewish dietary laws and circumcision and kosher and all of the rest? It was a very, very complicated question, and it ultimately reduces to this one question, and this is the reason why St. Paul wrote to the Galatians. The question is, what sets us right in God's sight? Now, we're messed up creatures, every last one of us. We do wrong things. We repeatedly do wrong things. We repeatedly, stubbornly, and pig-headedly do wrong things. And anybody with a conscience knows we're not right in God's sight. So what sets us right in God's sight? What is it? Law of Moses? Kosher laws? Dietary restrictions? Is that what sets us right in God's sight? I'll just jump right to the conclusion and give you St. Paul's answer. What sets us right in God's sight? Jesus Christ sets us right in God's sight. Specifically, faith in Jesus Christ sets us right in God's sight.
Specifically, faith lived out in Jesus Christ sets us right in God's sight. But how are we supposed to know if we're living out our faith in Jesus Christ? What are we supposed to base that on? What's that look like? What is that, just reduced to feelings? Well, that's what Paul writes about here. That's where our first reading begins. Paul spells it all out. He says, those who belong to Christ live in the Spirit, and those who do not live in the flesh. What is it like to live in the flesh? Paul spells it out. Immorality, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatreds, rivalry, jealousy, outbursts, anger, selfishness, dissensions, factions, envy, drinking, and all the rest. That's what it's like to live according to the flesh. What's it like to live according to the Spirit? Paul spells it all out. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, control over yourself. That's what it means to live according to the Spirit. Now, there's a couple good takeaways from this and things to pray about, and here's the first. First thing to pray about is recognize this. When Paul speaks about those who are in Christ and live according to the Spirit, he refers to all those qualities as the fruit of the Spirit. Notice, singular, fruit, not plural. All of these qualities are one solid whole. They all rise together, or they all fall together. It's interesting, virtue and vice never travel alone. They always bring along company. And you want to hear a real frightening corollary thought to that? Nobody ever goes to heaven or hell alone. We always bring people along with us. So if you're working on your fruit of the Spirit, you can recognize that if you're deficient in one area, you can work on it by building up another. Maybe you're lacking in patience. You can build that up by working on generosity or gentleness or anything else. It all rises together or it all falls together. That's one thing to pray about. Here's another thing to pray about. Recognize that these fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the flesh, make a fantastic examination of conscience. If you ever don't know what to say before confession, go to Galatians chapter 5 and read through these lists and just ask yourself one question. Does this describe me? Answer, yes. Yes, it does. But not completely. And when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, we want it to be complete. St. Paul says, those who belong to Christ have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. Notice the past tense. Have crucified. Past perfect, in fact. Until it's complete, we don't yet belong to Christ, and we have a lot to work on. Our saint for the day, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, you already know, she belonged completely to Christ our Lord. Let's ask for her prayers that we might belong to him as well. St. Margaret Mary, pray for us.